Imagine a school day built around your child's needs and interests. It's possible with K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited, tuition-free, online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn from state-certified teachers trained to teach online. And with the flexibility to learn wherever there's internet, it can fit into any family schedule. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. You can make the switch at any time. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more.
This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm Gaius. Germanicus is here. The Centurions are listening. We're going to do a little storytelling, which is what Cicero is very good at. He was equus class, same as me and Germanicus, which means we don't work, but we're not rich enough to be in the Senate, thank heavens. Thank Juno. Now, I'm not going to give Jupiter credit for that. Juno whispered in our ear, don't go there. We don't. We're far from the Senate. Very far. We're in Londinium on the other side of the English Channel. It would take a month for them to reach us with a note saying that we're in trouble. So we don't want to open those notes. However, here in our wine bar, we can speculate. What happened to the Roman Republic is gradually the people of Rome lost confidence in the decisions of the Senate. They turned to the decisions of the Tribunate, which was a body that had the ability to veto Senate decisions and to challenge with reform. That was a violent confrontation between the Senate and the Tribunate. It led to the death of the Gracchi brothers, led to the revolt of Sulla, led to Catiline conspiracy, it led to Caesar, and then eventually it led to the empire under Augustus. However, inside all this is an instructive moment. The governor of Sicily, grain-rich Sicily, before Egypt was acquired, they depended upon Sicily to feed the Roman peoples, was Gaius Verus, and he was masterfully corrupt. He stole everything and laughed about it. He took wives, he took statuary, he took gold, he took tapestries. He just stole and stole. And when a pirate fleet showed up at Syracuse, where he was on the island just off the coast of Syracuse where the temples are, he let it ravage the town, didn't defend the town. And then afterwards he went in and bought up all the properties that were burned, just like Crassus did in Rome. He was so corrupt that people laughed about him and said, well, you know, I'm not as corrupt as, and then fill in Verus. So happened that in 70 BCE, Verus came to trial, and a man named Cicero, 30 years old, came forward to prosecute him. The reason he was prosecuting him is that Verus was trying to break Cicero's client, and Cicero's skill was to turn the tables. So he was going to show that Verus was so corrupt, anything he said was useless. And he launched into a long presentation that was abruptly stopped after an hour. And he went to witnesses, very unusual. Usually you have hours long presentation, and then you have hours long recitation of the corruption. And then eventually you bring the witnesses in at the end of the presentation of the prosecution. Cicero cut through all that and brought in the witnesses right away, demonstrating that not only was Verus corrupt, but everybody in Rome knew he was corrupt and went along with it, that the people of Sicily were ill-served by having a Roman Senate Verus plunder them. Now, the reason I stop now is because we know where the corruption is. And it's in Washington. We've known this. Everybody knows it. I'm not saying something new. I'm not making an accusation. But we suddenly have a moment where there is to be a trial that might be the beginning of a Verus prosecution. I'm not sure. So I present Verus to Germanicus. He knows the story. Is the indictment of Comey, the former FBI director, is this a Verus moment? Or could it be, Germanicus?
It's a hinge moment, let's put it that way. Verus was significant enough so that taking him on was a fusillade directed at the establishment. And that fusillade in bringing down Verres also compromised the establishment. And the intent of what Mr. Trump is doing is to not simply bring down Mr. Comey and not to engage in some sort of witch hunt in the manner of Sulla, for example, going after enemies from the past, but rather to expose the deep corruption within the political system in the United States and the ways in which it has, over time, started to strangle the entire idea of representative government. I didn't say democracy because we've never had a democracy, but to whittle away the actual capacity of the republic to perform as a republic, as a representative system. And that was in evidence throughout the reigns, the second administration of Mr. Obama, and of course the wild reign of the Emperor Biden. And the corruption has to come out. You know, as Claudius himself said, let all the evil that lurks in the mud hatch out, according to Suetonius and Robert Graves. And in fact, this is what the purpose of such a ritual event, even a ceremonial event as a trial of a key senatorial figure serves. It serves to highlight the extent of the corruption and the fact that it needs to be cut out. And this is, I think, the beginning of what will be a process of opening up the wounds that have never healed, and hopefully to reorient the country as a whole. The country has lost confidence, but it doesn't matter if the entire electorate has lost confidence. It only matters if the power of the ruling elite is broken. For example, in Germany, a man running on the AfD ticket for mayor of a German city was forbidden from running. And it's interesting that the candidates in the election, of which there were three or four, each got only 5 or 6% of the vote, and 78% of the people who could have voted refused to vote. And of course, in German elections, you have a pretty high rate of participation, over 60%. And this kind of loss of confidence is an indictment of the system. But the system doesn't matter, doesn't care if it's been indicted. It only cares if it loses power. And what is interesting about what's going on in the United States is that unlike Europe and the European Union, with its stranglehold over countries, with the possible exception of Hungary, perhaps the Czech Republic, we'll see. Oh, no, not the Czech Republic, Slovakia. We now have an emperor who is going to clean house. And that is important because the power of the American oligarchy needs to be broken, because it had reached a level of tyrannical arrogance, especially during the COVID period, but also afterwards in their attempts to achieve regicide with the candidate Trump. This cannot continue without the entire system breaking down. And so I think this is a useful, in fact, necessary moment where we can see everything for what it is. And then that will change the complexion the entire political dynamic in our republic.
Here's another possibility, a positive piece. I note that the reaction to the indictment of Comey is to assert that it's Trump getting revenge on his enemies. Mm. That's it, seen as mano-mano. In other words, it's about Trump's character. Trump is a tribune of the people. He goes where the people want him to go. That's why he won a majority. That's why he remains very powerful, because he's going where his voters want him to go. He's going, he's a representative, though he's rich enough to be in the Senate, he's representative of the tribune. Now, he's not going to stop with Comey.
Right.
So I note it's fine that the perception is this is about taking on Comey as a payback. Comey was part of a corrupt system.
Mm-hmm.
He went along with a fiction and undermined the credibility of the vote.
Yes.
In 16, in 20, and 24. That without that vote, there is no legitimacy in the White House, and that vote might not be coming back, Germanicus. We have to entertain that possibility. It might be gone forever. You won't believe anything they say. I know I was asking one of the AI characters today.
Yes.
Compare the vote in 16, the vote in 20, the vote in 24 in a couple of counties in Wisconsin. It is surprising, the discrepancies. You don't know what to make of it. But I note that Once we no longer count on the vote, it's a country of brute force or the country of an emperor. Now, the prosecutions will continue as they did. Veris prosecution eventually reached a point where Veris fled. And at that point, he was deprived of his Roman citizenship. He was never to come back to Rome. And he lived out his life as a libertine. Fine. I don't think that is Comey's end. But certainly Comey's colleagues, the high end of his colleagues, expect him to prevail. I do not. I think the indictment is the defeat. And there will be more indictments. They will name names. We know, I'm not emphasizing evidence here. This isn't about 21st century trials. This is about first century BCE trials. Cicero appealed to common sense and sentiment, not evidence. And the sentiment is already there. The common sense is already there. Just fill in the blank. You tell the Trump voters in 24 that Comey is corrupt. Do you hear anybody pushing back, Germanicus?
No, not one. The problem here is that the other side retains many of the sinews of power, and the exposure of the corruption doesn't necessarily, you know, ipso facto lead to their loss of power and influence. And the question then becomes one of whether or not a tit for tat situation in which politics becomes literal war. They call it lawfare now, and that's a terrible word. This is the kind of combat that you saw in Spain in the several years before the breakdown that we call the Spanish Civil War. And the question is, how will we continue to have legitimate transfers of power? Now, it may well be that in this upcoming next quadrennial election, that Mr. Vance will sail to victory, and then we'll have a long period under the current, you know, twin emperors, the emperor and the senior emperor and the junior emperor, that will effectively bring the country back to a kind of stability that it had under Mr. Reagan and the first Mr. Bush. But It may not work out that way. And the question is then, can we have another election in which power is successfully transferred and accepted by the losing party and its millions of devout supporters. This is what happened in Spain, and it was a contested election in 1936, which even historians cannot agree on, 100 years later, practically. And everything broke down after that. And so, you know, my concern is, like Rome, that at some point the process simply doesn't work any longer, that effectively the constitutional order breaks down. That doesn't mean that what is unfolding now should not happen or be swept under the rug. Indeed, it must open up everything so that we can restore trust and confidence. But it may not work out that way in terms of the larger orbit of, you know, compass of political conflict in the nation right now.
Germanics, you believe that we can restore the Republic, because I have lost confidence in anyone who talks about the Republic. I think that they're masking their corruption if they talk about the Republic. We Romans moved to an emperor because we couldn't trust the Senate. How can they stay with that Senate?
The biggest problem now is there's too much inequality of wealth and income, which means that you have the citizenry as a majority reduced to a kind of peonage. You mentioned earlier the old term wage slave, but that has reduced the status of the majority of Americans and elevated the status politically of a tiny minority of Americans. And so you have, in a sense, only the very top wealth and income earners or holders as feeling that they're the true citizens, and they have the right, therefore, to orchestrate the future pathway of this country. And that's at the heart of this. You can't change that, because things have moved too far from the 1970s, when you had a much better, less inequitable distribution of wealth. Now, at this point, it's so wildly skewed that you have a tiny group of people controlling everything, and they look down on the vast majority of people. And you know that, and the evidence of the last decade only proves that.
Germanicus is Michael Vlahos. I am Gaius John Batzer. We're in Londinium, and we're perhaps becoming too heavy-handed here, but events are moving very quickly, so we want to get ahead of it. When we come back, a moment, however, we're going to talk real estate, Palatine Hill. If you live on the Palatine Hill in Rome, what does that mean? What is to be done, especially with the tribunate looking up at the hill saying, they've got theirs, and we don't have anything. Is it time to rearrange their furniture? It's happened before. It can happen again. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. When we come back, how to tax the billionaires. This is Londinium. Thank you.
Imagine a school day built around your child's needs and interests. It's possible with K-12. K-12-powered schools are accredited, tuition-free, online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn from state-certified teachers trained to teach online. And with the flexibility to learn wherever there's internet, it can fit into any family schedule. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. You can make the switch at any time. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more.